This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, I'm Jolene, and it's time for another Odyssey check-in. The man I'm about to check in with needs no introduction. Can I say it? I'm going to say it. Fucking Iggy Pop, man. Iggy Pop. Hello, darling.
So hey, nice fucking Jolene. How you doing?
I love it. Oh, my gosh. Whew. So I'm going to start out with a couple of deep breaths. Your face looks good. I can see all of it. We were just talking before we got rolling about that fine head of hair of yours. You've beaten the odds. Let's be honest. You beat the odds, Iggy, in many ways.
You got a point there.
So let's start with a new song, a new album, and a new record label.
Yeah, I'm very happy about all that.
Yeah, it sure looks like it, and it sounds like it. So not too long ago, it came out that you signed a deal with Andrew Watts Gold Tooth Records. And I saw the press release for it, and he gets it. You know what I mean? Like, just what I read, what he had to say about you, it seemed like he really got it. Your new song is available now. It's called Frenzy. The name of the new album, I love this, is called Every Loser.
Yeah, Every Loser.
I love it. I love it. I think it's safe to say, Iggy, that for a lot of us, you are the king of the underdogs. I consider myself an underdog, and you're on the throne, man.
You know, there is that aspect, and I have my favorite t-shirt is a picture of a rescue pit bull, and it says always root for the underdog. So, you know, I'll cop to that. I've been up and I've been way down. So there you go.
I think the best advice and character comes from those two extremes, you know, the ups and the downs. Who would we be if we weren't in the gutter from time to time, right?
Yeah, I still have nightmares about it. I'm usually barefoot, and I have like a crinkled up dollar bill in my pocket. And I'm in a strange city and on a dirty street knocking on doors, but there's no doorknob and nobody there. But that's okay, you know. It's fun to wake up.
Right. Yeah, totally. Like, hey, I'm alive. I'm here. I lived through those days. I lived to tell the tale, which is such a gift. The new album is titled Every Loser. It's out January 6th. Frenzy is the first song. So let's talk about this before I get into all of my questions for you.
Sure.
This song features the wonderful Duff McKagan, who I'm lucky enough to call a pal, and Chad Smith of the Red Hot Chili Peppers. I love the lyrics. Iggy, can you tell me about the lyrics? Can you tell me about maybe where you were when you wrote Frenzy, what the environment was like, what was going on up here?
Well, honestly, the physical environment was superb. I was on an island in the Caribbean in my beautiful digs, but that wasn't where I was mentally or emotionally. Mentally and emotionally, I was in the good old USA duking it out with a douchebag. That's all I'm going to tell you about the actual lyrics. Other than that, the rest of it is, it was one of these curious examples of what happens when you're when you're in a very heightened state, something that feels like a fight or feels like anger, many, many things circle around your mind all at once, and your different synapses are firing, you know. So the song has sharks, it has a little love interest, as in shut up and love me, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Stuff like that. It has, you know, it has the possibility of death, a lot of stuff in there, but it doesn't really matter. It could have been anything. It's just like ping pong balls going off in my mind when kind of thing. It was written, the lyric was written very fast, and but the concept, the title, the way I usually write is, if I hear a piece of music, I try to listen close to the emotional, well, it sounds corny, emotional truth. I try to listen to what that piece of music feels like and try to come up with a title that in and of itself matches.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I thought, sounds like Frenzy, you know. So that was once I decided to write from there, then the rest of it comes very fast.
Do you think the words are more important in music, in rock and roll? The words are more important, or the feeling behind them?
The words aren't important, but without the right words, you won't be able to sing with feeling. And, of course, if you had the right words and they were somebody else's and you didn't sing with feeling, that would be terrible. But, you know, you can't sing a wiser, older rocker than me once said, as some people that are too wordy, it's trying like to put an elephant in a rocking chair. You know, you have to do something that fits in with the music and fits in, that you can deliver in a certain way, and you have to be in the mood. But to get to the mood, when you step up to the mic, you've got to know, you can't really be reading the whole damn thing. You can, if it's fresh, you can have a piece of paper around or not, just in case for you. You have to gulp a line, but you really have to have it inside yourself, and you have to tell it. And for my style, or for a lot of people that I like, you better get it quick. I always hated, it was particularly horrible living through the 80s and 90s when the televised music was more prevalent. It was more important, and the whole industry was being run by professional producers who wanted you to sing each word 25 times, and then we'll string it together so that it sounds really professional. I don't do that sort of thing. So this is like, that's me singing the song once. That's it, you know. And yeah.
That's incredible. Rapping with Iggy Pop. Iggy Pop. I have a hard time saying your name and not wanting to say Iggy fucking Pop. The new album coming out on Andrew Watts Gold Tooth Records is dropping June 6th. Not June. I'm sorry. January.
Yeah.
June. Frenzy is the new song. Iggy, I want to give you some rapid fire questions here. Some.
Sure.
Some don't. You can. Iggy Pop's favorite morning beverage?
Oh, triple espresso and the fresh squeezed orange juice and fresh still water.
I was having a conversation with someone going, I want to know how Iggy likes his coffee. For some odd reason, like, I really want to know, because I had a feeling that you started out with something good and strong like that.
I go for ristretto, which is the very, very, very thick Italian roast.
Love it. All right. On this may have something to do with Italy. What was one of the best meals you ever had?
Oh, wow. That's a beautiful question.
Thank you.
Well, I had a really good steak last night, so I don't know if I can, off the top of my head, I can't think of the best one I ever had. I've eaten at Michelin star joints and all that. Obviously, you do that when you're in my game. You know, you come across those places. But, you know, my favorite thing to eat is when it's done right and with love and care, I like eggs on toast. I love eggs, and it's a simple, clean, intact thing. You can pick it up in your hand before you cook it and see what you got. It doesn't have a list of 30 ingredients in it. It may have been raised in a funny way. That's a whole other issue. But the egg is a wonderful thing. And I like eggs, and you know, in France and Provençal, they make them a certain way. Les œufs brûlés, they make them scrambled with really good herbs in them and a little truffe, the olive oil. But in America, just nice eggs on toast, fried eggs on top of a nice, I like whole wheat toast. That's good. Or in Germany or Scandinavia, everybody has a different way of doing it. I also love boiled eggs. Mm. And when I first moved here to Miami about 20 years ago, I was by myself for about 3 years, and that was my favorite breakfast. I wake up and boil myself an egg, and then have it with a slice of toast and butter and just salt and pepper on it. That's a beautiful thing.
I love it. Odyssey check-in with Iggy Pop, just doing some random questions because we can. I love talking about
things. Yeah, it's fun to talk about eggs.
Right? The things that
roadies love eggs because they have to work crazy hard and very little sleep, and you're out in the God knows where with all this weird processed food, and at least they can depend on eggs.
Darn right. Okay, next question. Well, I feel this one right now. Iggy Pop, when was the last time you were starstruck or you were just in awe of somebody?
I was starstruck the other day. Oh, God, it is so strange and I don't know why. It was Ringo Starr. And it's funny because, you know, I know, I've met Paul McCartney. I know him a little bit. I've had dinner with him years ago at David Bowie's digs. And I know the Stones and everything a fairly little bit. But I did a thing with Ringo, a charity thing, and we took the pictures and everything. It wasn't a problem. I wasn't starstruck doing that or anything, but we went into a little club to watch the Hives play, and they played really well. And we're in this little club, and I was just sitting there. Finally, I didn't have anything to say. There was a lull between tunes, so I asked him, "Hey, so how do you like living in Monaco?" And of course, I knew that, you know, it's Monaco, not Monaco. But I was nervous. So he said, "It's Monaco, man." You know, and actually, it was boring. Nothing for Barb to do. So we've moved to L.A., and that was that. You know, but. I thought later, why was I starstruck? But I was, and I don't really get that way, you know. But Ringo's mythic, and there's something wonderful about the fact, you know, he was the only Beatle. He didn't have to write. You know, he didn't have to stand in front, and he didn't even have to go through the first couple of years of getting up to a certain level in the band. Yeah. He used
it's
to be in
like
this.
He kind of got out unscathed just by the sheer name of who he is.
He was this cool guy from Liverpool, and he was in this band, Rory Storm and the Somebodies, like a cool rock and roll show band, and he just kind of came in and did a great job and sort of, I think, brightened and lightened the image of that group in a way that helped it come over, you know? So that was the last time. That was the first and last time. I can't think of anybody else really.
But don't you think, I feel like there is something to sometimes when we get a little, or just in awe, starstruck, or just a little dumbfounded, it usually has to do with a person or thing that you fell for when you were young in life.
I was a drummer when I started, and I was really, really keen listening to Ringo.
Exactly. So yeah, you were probably 10 years old losing your mind.
I was a teenager when their records came out, and I used to sit in the kitchen with a big radio and waiting. I had to listen to the entire top 40 for the one. Yeah, the one good song.
There were no
Stones or Kinks or anything yet. You just had to wait for this one Beatles song. Right?
And
I would get a little teenage orgasm, you know, not literally, but a sort of this thrill through my body listening to that group originally.
So that goes back to my theory about, like, the more it affects you when you're younger, the more likely you might still feel that way.
Yes.
When you're older, you know, that electricity. I know exactly what you're talking about, because that's what it's supposed to do.
That's why I wear my hair the way I do, because it's the same way it was when I was young and happy.
It looks great. Yeah. It looks great. Rapping with the incredible Iggy Pop. The name of the new album is titled Every Loser. It's coming out on Andrew Watts Gold Tooth Records. The first song from it is called Frenzy. It features Duff McKagan, Chad Smith of the Red Hot Chili Peppers. Iggy, you mentioned a little while ago, you know, how you started out as a drummer. And when I see you, the shape of your face, your blonde hair, it makes me think of another drummer. It makes me think of Taylor Hawkins.
Oh, wow.
I know.
Taylor plays on the album, and he plays with it. It's an unbelievable energy that this guy has. He also played me in a film, you know. He was me in the CBGB's movie.
Oh my God, you're right.
And a poster was of his abs as my abs, you know. But I met him. I opened for Foo Fighters in 2015 in Nebworth, and I never really understood fully what they did. And then I stood there side stage and listened to that thing and listened to what he was playing, and it was otherworldly. It was just very, very, it was advanced and powerful and relentless and highly detailed all at the same time. And he was a really intense guy, and had a lot of energy when you meet him, like a puppy that you meet and it's too big or something, you know?
Excited golden retriever.
Yeah. Anyway, he plays, the two tracks he plays on are really, he made those come alive. They're really, really interesting person, and I'm sorry he's gone.
Yeah,
but I'm glad he did what he wanted in life.
Right. That's all any of us can ask for, don't you think? That is the biggest gift, is to be able to chase after your dreams and chase after your life and mold your world to fit you.
Well, that's our constitution in this country, the pursuit of happiness. There's no other country I know of that has the word happiness in their legal foundation.
So this kind of circles into my next question. What's something that brings you joy? Joy, joy, joy.
I love the sea. And I love to be in the water. I love it cold. I love it hot. I love to be near it. I like to look at it day or night. I also love the sky, and I love clouds. And I like to look at the different shapes they make and imagine different things that they are or might be. And I like to watch them and figure out what it tells me. I like to try to predict the weather from way the, like the clouds. Okay, here's how they look tonight. So tomorrow's going to be this, or those are my two favorite things. Other than that, I mean, being loved whenever you feel, whenever you feel love, that's a big deal. That's, but on the other hand, sometimes when, if that happens, a little voice says, uh-oh, we're in love land. anything could happen, you know, but still. So those are some of the things, you know.
I love that, Iggy. What's currently in your pockets? In your pockets right now. Do you have pockets with what you're wearing?
Yeah. I've got a pocket. This is a product, I can't say the name, I don't think, on your, it's an eye drop that contains a little bit of an antihistamine in it, and I use it constantly because I tend to get itchy eyes. I'm like a high-strung person, and I have a very active immune system, which if I get cut, I heal incredibly quickly, but also sometimes it kicks into overdrive, so I get itchy and I get creaky, stuff like that. So that's everything right now. Yeah,
I appreciate that you're dealing with the allergies, that I'm sitting here dabbing my eyes,
okay,
trying to not shove a tissue up my nose while I'm talking to Iggy.
I think all Americans at this point have allergies because there's so much wild stuff flying around in our advanced technological, swamp. Yeah,
indeed. Wrapping with the incredible Iggy Pop, the new album is titled Every Loser. It's coming out January 6th. The first single is called Frenzy. And I'm going through the rest of these questions with a frenzy because I want to savor every moment I have with you. What's a book? Because I think you're an incredibly wise man and I value what you have to say. What's a book that most people should read before they die?
That's a little bit too.
Okay, how about
Jolene? I'm not a guru, but the last great read I had. It's a very naughty book, and it's by a lady named Otessa Mosfay is her name. The book is My Year of Rest and Relaxation, and it's about an attractive girl on a fixed inherited income living in New York City, and she feels depressed. So she decides, I'll take a year off. And the way she's going to take a year off is she takes drugs and uses like delivery services so that she never has to leave the house, and she tries to be asleep as much as possible. And it's a very rude, synopsis of the book, but it's a clever and very funny book and also very soulful. So
awesome.
That's what I'll say.
Awesome. I love that. What makes you weak in the knees? Maybe parts of this book,
No. Let's go to the next question.
Okay, no problem. Right. I was watching this incredible show that you were part of on Epix called Punk last night. I believe you and John Varvatos are some of the associate producers on it. Incredible show. It's on Epix right now. But it was great to watch going into this conversation. And the first scene with you on that show, you come just rolling in with a beautifully cut leather jacket, just authentic Iggy. And then you just really started talking about so many things. But what I loved was that you really cheered on how awesome your parents were for you when you first started playing drums, and how you were in this little trailer.
I should give credit about that jacket. That was a gift from the designer Eddie Sliman. who designed the jacket. He was working for Saint Laurent at the time, and he's at Celine now. But I asked him for the jacket, and he said, "Well,
did it feel like butter?"
He said, "Okay, I give it to you because it looked just like your skin." but I didn't mind. It does. But it was a nice jacket. And yeah, my parents were incredibly, we lived in a what's called basically a township out in the boonies. It was a trailer park on a two-lane blacktop, US 1, also known as the Hillbilly Highway. It used to carry workers from Tennessee and Kentucky up to Detroit to work in the various heavy industries. And there was no town around, really, and there was a little schoolhouse. There was no school music till I was 12. But when I was 12, we were absorbed by a proper school system. So you could play piano. Well, I didn't want to do that. You could play trombone or trumpet. Drums sounds cool. So I learned that way with a little, they start you out when you learn actual parade drumming, school drumming, you usually get a little, what they call a drum pad first. It's just a little piece of wood. Yeah. With hard rubber on the top and you learn the rudiments. And basically it wasn't long before I graduated. "Dad, I want a drum kit." You know, and so he lent me the money for a drum kit. I said, "You watch, once I get the drums, I'll make money and I'll pay you back." And they let me set up this full kit in the middle of the trailer. And eventually, once I got better, they gave up their bedroom. You know, I think it was a great sacrifice for them, but it was also to get me out of the middle of the trailer, get me to one end with the kit, which was incredibly loud. And we would shake the whole
whole
home. But within about a year of starting to learn to play a kit, I had a band, and we were started to make what for a young man was very, very serious money on the weekend. You know, you're living at home, you have no expenses, mm-hmm. you're going to school, and then you're out playing gigs Friday afternoon, Friday night, Saturday night, and it adds up. And next thing you know, every weekend you've got a couple $100, which at the time was a lot of money in your pocket, and it made an impression. You know, I come from good peeps. They had very modest beginnings. They were a couple kids from Depression era kids, where the parents, in one way or another, lost almost everything, and the structures of life started to descend into chaos. And so they, because of that, they grew up wanting nothing more than to be very straight and bang. And so they tried to do their best for me. And some things they wanted to protect me from just couldn't be accomplished. But I owe my success to my parents.
That's so incredible to hear, because you don't hear many stories like that. And I know a lot of people watching this, you know, maybe they have their own family, or it makes them think about their own parents a little different. So I wanted to make sure and cover that. How, swinging back to the new album, Every Loser, my all-time favorite underdog, Iggy Pop, how did you get hooked up with Andrew Watt to get on this label? Did he pursue you? Did he go down to Miami and start working on
I got an email from the producer Danger Mouse, and who's a friend, and he said, I ran into Morrissey at a party. He wants your contact. Is that okay? So I said, yeah, it's okay, but you know, Morrissey's pretty heavy guy. Give me a couple days before you give it to him. So I got an email from Morrissey, and he said, I'm making a record with an extraordinary producer, and would you consider singing along on it? which I thought wasn't going to work because he's a very, very, he's a very smooth, very fine singer, and I'm a very rough singer with only four or five notes in my bag. But it was him, and I had a lot of respect for him, so I said, sure. Very quickly, I had a call from Andrew, so we started talking on the phone. One thing led to, I ended up submitting a vocal for a terrific album that Morrissey made with Andrew, but it's hit some snags with the business. It's not out yet. But I'm sure they won't use it because he didn't need me on the album. But I had a feeling Andrew would just wanted to meet me. So he pitched, hey, can I send you some tracks? So that's how it started. Can I go into the studio with some guys who really like you and send you some tracks? And he actually, he's a young man in a hurry. A lot of things are happening for him. So about a half hour into our first phone call, he said, you know, I feel like I really know you now. I want to ask you a couple questions. He asked me a couple of pretty personal things. And then he said, I really want to know is, are you ready to be you again? And I knew what he meant. I wasn't gonna put a foot in there. So I just said, which one? But, you know, and I knew what he meant, though. I said, okay, this guy's going to start sending me rock tracks.
Yeah.
And he did. And they sounded so, the players just sounded like dudes from LA having a blast. And that is, it's really hard to stop somebody who's having fun enjoying what they do. You know, you see it with all sorts of people when they're, even when they're bad, if they're having fun being bad for quite a while, that works for them, you know? Mm-hmm. And so there was that spirit in the music, and I became very motivated to try quickly. What you want to do then, I could use tennis as a metaphor, or squash. You try to volley back quickly, and if you're the vocalist, the job is to do something that tops what you got, so mm-hmm. that the music wasn't as good until you came along.
Yeah.
That's what you try to do. So that was basically how we started. You know.
Well, it's tough to hone in on specific things because your pedigree, the music you've made, aside from what is known as punk rock. You've covered so many other genres, you know what I mean? So when he's like, are you ready to, he's like, do you want to rock again? You know?
Yeah, yeah, I knew that.
But I've loved all of your other records throughout the years. And I think it really shows just new versions of ourselves.
I'm proud of them. I'm proud of them too. And I realize the ones that hardcore music aficionados really, really go for are the ones that are more nearer rock and roll or punk or whatever, or whatever you want to call it, you know. There are other things in life that I enjoy and I wanted to do. And also, I mean, I've co-written about, it has to be up around 350 songs now. I just don't think I have 350 hard rocking songs in me. Maybe 200, But sometimes you just go into another place and that's all right. You know, I do it for me first, you know.
And that's how it should be because you have to live with you. I have to live with me. You have to live
with
you.
I have to live with them too. And so, So, you know, sometimes you say, well, you know, okay, you know, here's one for you. You know?
I love the variety that was, forgive me for forgetting the name of it. It may have been your first album you put out that was in French.
après. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Which means after, you know.
Thank you. That was an album that was like my Saturday morning, Sunday morning, you know, making breakfast, making
food. Oh, that's great.
You know, reading the newspaper with, well, who's now my husband, you know what I mean? It just brings back those things. And I think it's impossible to get everything from one specific sound. It's just, it's unrealistic. It's like expecting one person to be the funny person in your life and the smart person in your life. You know, all of our friends and loved ones bring in different things. So we need a little variety.
That particular record was meant to be a very small, totally indie, self-released affair. And it was half of the songs were in French, half in English, because I wanted to sing some torch songs from like Sinatra used to sing in the 40s and 50s. But I knew I'm not Michael Bublé. So if I tried to do a whole record like that, I was going to get shot down. I don't have the smooth technique. And I liked the French culture. Those people are a little more open to inspired amateurism. They don't need you to be so professional all the time. And they have a type of song there called chanson. And it's in French, and I love those songs. And some of them were translated. In other words, My Way by Frank Sinatra was originally a French song, which in French was titled Boredom. And it's a miserable lyric about a guy who's deeply bored. Autumn Leaves was originally Dead Leaves in French, another very depressing but beautiful number. So I wanted to cover some of that. And I did the one song, Michel by the Beatles, because it's in French and English. You know, and I got a nice little note from Paul McCartney thanking me for the cover, and I appreciated it, you know. And I enjoyed doing that album, and it's one of those albums. I met a guy a couple tours ago in France. He came, he gave me a nice bottle of wine backstage, and he said, I own a very fine wine and cheese shop here in Lyon, and I sell your Après. I order it 25 CDs at a time, and I set it on the counter next to the cash register, and it takes about 6 months, and they're all gone, and I reorder. And he said, you know, and I was really happy to be there with the wine and cheese, you know.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah, and it turns over every year. I get a little royalty. I get like, it would be like, it might be enough to buy like a Chinese smart car or something,
you know,
just a little something. And it's a great.
And you hold up the toy car.
Yeah. Those are great. There's some dollars that give you more pleasure than others. So I enjoyed doing that record. I did.
I'm gonna let you go here in a little bit before I'm
all sure right. All right, cool.
From your manager. Yeah. The new album is titled Every Loser. The song is called Frenzy. You're gonna be hitting the road in January. Am I right in that?
Yeah. No. No, we're gonna be hitting the road in April.
Oh, okay.
All right. So, the album's out in January, and I'm going out with the Losers featuring Andrew Watt, Josh Klinghoffer, Duff McKagan, and Chad Smith, Iggy Pop and the Losers in April. Yeah.
That is incredible. I'm so happy for you. We're so, so glad to see you happy and healthy. We wish you, respect you.
That's
Godfather of Punk. There it is. I'm going to get as many F-bombs in as I can at the beginning and the end of this interview.
All right, cool. Eat some fucking eggs.
Fuck yeah, eat your eggs. Iggy Pop.
All right.
Thank you, sir. It's been a pleasure.
Okay, Julie. Cheers.
Cheers. Mwah. Bye-bye.
All right.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.